This is Living the RV Dream, episode 247 for Friday, July 15th, 2022.
I'm riding in my RV, wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.
Hello, happy campers! Hello, fellow pelican heads and happy travelers around the world, full-timers, part-timers, boondockers, van dwellers, weekend warriors, welcome, schoolie builders! Welcome to the show one more time, and I'm sorry I'm losing my voice here. It hasn't happened in a while. It's happening now that I have to make a presentation at the Winnebago Grand National Rally. That's when it happens, right? Never fails. But in any case, here we are, and are we living the RV dream? Are we ever? What a week it's been. It's been one of the most eventful weeks, actually, we've had in the whole trip. We spent several days in the Black Hills area of South Dakota, in southwestern South Dakota. And, of course, this is one of the areas that I spent the most time, because we arrived there, Ely had to fly back to Miami, so I stayed there for a couple of days by myself, and then she returned, and then we started exploring a lot more. Of course, we did Mount Rushmore. That's a given. You have to do Mount Rushmore if you are in the Black Hills area. Black Hills area, by the way, is the area, think about it, it's to the north. Is the boundary is Rapid City to the east, to the north, Spearfish, Deadwood, Sturgis, and then to the south you have the town of Hot Springs, and to the west I guess it would be the Wyoming state line, right? But it's a beautiful area. I mean, more mountainous than you would think. In fact, the tallest peak east of the Rockies is here. I was gonna climb to it. I didn't. It's in Custer National Park. But let me tell you all we did and everything that there is to do in this area, and still we didn't do a lot. Like there are several things to do in downtown Rapid City that we didn't do. Actually, one of the fun things you can do in Rapid City, they have a sculpture of in each corner they have a sculpture of a different president. And it's a fun game to try to guess without looking at the name, try to guess which president it is. Some of them are really obvious, like Bill Clinton is like, yeah, it's uncanny. Same with Bush, the elder. But then there's the presidents that we didn't know in our lifetime, like John Adams or Jefferson. And that's when it starts getting a little harder, because, you know, at least with all the recent presidents, we have a 3D image of their face, right? We've seen him from all angles. Jefferson, there's like three paintings, and that's it. So very, very, very cool to see downtown. There's a brewery there that I wanted to go with. I didn't get to go. So, you know, you always have to leave something on the table so you have an excuse to return to the city. And that's the Firehouse brewery. I did get a haircut at this place called, I think it's called the Five Thrones or Six Thrones, something like that. It's a little fancier than I was expecting. They even have like beer on tap, but they gave me a good haircut, and that's what matters. Now, talking about the Black Hills area, I was saying just southwest, about 40 minutes southwest of Rapid City, it's Mount Rushmore National Memorial. And I would recommend you visit during the day, of course. In the morning, the is the best lighting to see the presidents. In the afternoon, do the presidential trail, I think it is called. It's a short trail. I mean, there's a little bit of stairs on the way back, but it's not like super strenuous. And you get to see each president from a different vantage point, you know, from below. And they have a, you know, plaque with information about, you know, Washington, of course, is the first one, Jefferson, Teddy Roosevelt, and the last one, of course, Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln. And, you know, each of them has a story and a significant contribution to the growth, to the establishment of our country. And then do go at night, because they have a night presentation too, in which There's a ranger. He does a little speech. They could work on their audio system. It was very hard to hear, especially with other guests, you know, chatting as the ranger was speaking. And then they have a movie, you know, which chronicles the lives of the four presidents, and you know, the end is patriotic. They sing "America the Beautiful," and it's overall a very good presentation. It feels a little dated by today's standards. It's a very small screen, and there's not much of a light. You know, if I would be in charge, I would have like colored lights maybe at the beginning with the colors of the flag, and then light up each president as they talk about them or something like that. It's very utilitarian. They just turn on the lights and you see, you know, they illuminate the four presidents. It almost looks ghostly, because have you ever done that trick that you put a flashlight under your head, under your face, and you try to scare someone? It's like that. It's, you know, it's like the face is illuminated from underneath, so you get kind of that, you know, a ghostly effect, if you will. But otherwise, I mean, I'm not making fun of the thing or making light of it. It was overall a very great presentation and a very moving experience. But I think it could use some updating. Now, I'm not gonna go in order, but very close to Mount Rushmore is also another great sculpture that, I mean, let's face it, we're probably not going to see it finished in our lifetime, and that is Crazy Horse. Crazy Horse is a statue depicting, you know, Crazy Horse, the Native American. We took a bus tour. By the way, it's kind of expensive. Was it, what, like $30? It was $30 for, it's $15 per person. It varies if there's only one person in the car. If there are three, I think it maxes out at $30. I don't know, at $40. But if it felt expensive for what it is, yeah, it's a very well-made museum, and with a history of the Lakota, of course, and how it was, because this is the thing. Crazy Horse was one of the few Indian chiefs that never got their picture taken off. So what they did, you know, they did like if, you know, that those forensic pictures that they draw when they ask, you know, and they ask people who knew. A Crazy Horse, and that's how they determined his liking, and then they made a sculpture out of wood, and that's what they used eventually to cast his face, which is basically the only part of the monument that is finished. I mean, when it is done, it's gonna be like a feat of engineering, and it's gonna be one of the greatest and largest sculptures ever built. But let's face it, at the pace they're going, it's going to take 200 years or more. I mean, it's going to have a stallion, you know, in front of Crazy Horse, and his long hair, you know, flowing in the wind. And luckily, at night, they have a laser show presentation, which is pretty good. I mean, as far as laser shows go, a little dim, but it's very, you know, of course, I've always had to criticize, right? But it could be brighter, but it's fine. It's a beautiful presentation there. And at the end, they project on the rock with lasers how it's going to look once it's finished. And it's going to take a very long time, let me tell you. But the museum is very nice. They also have a scale size sculpture of what it's supposed to look like in the future, and lots of artifacts about the Lakota Native Americans and all that. It's good. Maybe a little steep at $15 per person, but hey. And then they charge you $4, and that was a very informative tour, actually. It's about an hour, and they take you as close as we can get to the statue as possible safely, and then they tell you the more like in detail the story of, you know, how they built it and all that. And then there's another tour. I think it's you're supposed to make a $150 tax deductible donation to them, and then they'll take you up there, you know, to the actual sculpture. And yeah, we didn't do that one. But Crazy Horse, yeah, definitely definitely worth a visit. We did have lunch at this place called Alpine Inn in Hill City. Hill City is the nearby town, probably the closest town. It's kind of equidistant to Mount Rushmore and Crazy Horse, and to the we were staying at the Mount Rushmore KOA Resort at Palmer Gulch, and very expensive KOA, but it's a resort. It's one of the ones that is for real. They have every single amenity. I mean, they even have horseback rides, you know, like a trail ride that you can ride on horseback. And I mean, you think of it. They have a tap room, several restaurants, well-stocked store, several swimming pools, slide. I mean, but then again, it's not my type of campground. If you want peace and quiet and all that, it's not. I mean, it's not peace and quiet. It's very busy. Sometimes there's a traffic jam going in and out, or yeah. But it's so what should I say? Impeccably located. It's like 10 minutes from Mount Rushmore, 10 minutes from Crazy Horse, and then another 10 minutes from Hill City, where it's a small town with a bunch of restaurants and all that. It's pretty cool, Hill City, and. So much to see in this area. We're not even getting started because another place to visit in this area, and that was another one of those things that was bucket list, and that's Custer State Park. And there are three main drives that you have to do in Custer State Park, and there are several hikes as well. There's, for example, the hike to Black Elk Peak, which is considered the tallest point east of the Rockies, and definitely the highest point in the great state of South Dakota. But let me tell you, I mean, we only did one hike, and I'm going to tell you about it at the end of the of our coverage here of Custer State Park. But there are three scenic drives that are a must, and the first one is on the eastern part of the park, and it is the wildlife loop. And if you enter through the west, as we did. We saw, oh man, it was crazy. The biggest herd of bison I think I've ever seen. I think it was larger than Lamar Valley in Yellowstone. I mean, there was a lot of bison, and they were just hanging out in the middle of the road. So we had to wait for them to move. It took some time. But yeah, that was just some of the wildlife we saw. Of course, bison, buffalo, I mean, we all know what they look like. But then a little farther down, they have the begging burros, and they have this herd of burros. I think they were left stranded here by someone, and they call them the begging burros because they come to your car to beg for food, and people feed them like carrots and whatnot. And I guess you can, it's the only wildlife in the park that you're supposed to feed. And they're very cute. They remind me of the burros in Oatman, Arizona. If you recall, we were there a couple of years ago, and that's like the main attraction of Oatman, Arizona. But anyway, here we have burros. We also saw a few, not pronghorn, I think they were longhorn sheep. And we saw elk. There was a huge herd of elk, and we got so lucky because they were close to the road, and all of a sudden, they just stampeded out. You know, they left, or they were leaving, but there were a couple of bucks, males, and the rest were female, and that was quite a sight to see too. And then we stopped by the visitor center, and if you want to find out where we got very lucky with the bison, but if you want to find out where they are, they have like on a map at the visitor center, they have a map marked where, you know, where the last time the herd was spotted. So that's very cool. Now there are two more main roads inside Custer State Park, and then one of them is the Iron Mountain Road. And Iron Mountain Road, besides having a lot of switchbacks and ups and downs, and it's a scenic drive, let's face it, there are several tunnels, and do not attempt to do this with your RV, because some of them are like under 11 feet tall. So I mean, I wouldn't risk it. I mean, they tell you the clearance of all of them, but two of those is in tunnel number one and tunnel number three, especially in tunnel number three frames Mount Rushmore beautifully. And as you go through the tunnel, all of a sudden Mount Rushmore is right in front of you. So that's the main thing in Iron Mountain Road. And there's a couple of viewpoints, vista points, where you get to see Mount Rushmore as well. I mean, from pretty far away, but I mean, if you have a good zoom lens on your camera or a pair of binoculars, especially from Norbeck, if you stop at one overlook, stop at Norbeck Overlook, because from there you can see everything. You can see like the visitor center for Mount Rushmore. You see it from above. It's at a higher elevation, and that was a beautiful view. And then there's a third road. This one is called the Needles Highway, and you can take it from the south or from the north. It doesn't matter. From the, the southern portion is not as scenic as the northern portion is, because you see all this. I guess there are pinnacles, but it's like the signature road. You will start at Sylvan Lake. Sylvan Lake, very touristy, very busy, especially in the afternoon. Actually, we went twice. We went in the afternoon, the day that we did the Needles Highway, and we were like, there's no way. And then the next day, we went like early in the morning, like I don't know, 8 a.m., I think, and we got there, and there were very few people. And that's the only hike that we did in Custer State Park. And it's about a mile hike around the lake. For the most part, parts of it are even ADA compliant. Very easy hike. There's only one part of the lake towards the back where it intersects with the Sunday Gulch trailhead and by the dam. You go behind the dam, you see a small waterfall and the dam, of course. And that part you have to scramble a little bit up and down. I mean, it's not sketchy by any means, but it's the only part that, you know, you might, you know, get a little bit of exercise down there. It's the road from the north. Actually, it's a beautiful road coming from the north, coming from actually the Needles Highway, from the junction with US 385. And these pinnacles, these rock formations, I mean, it's something out of this world. It is one of those places, and beautiful lake. And in the afternoon, lots of people. In fact, it was a little dirty around. So, like, people discard like sandals and snorkels and perfectly good gear. Maybe they left it there, and maybe some kid left it laying around and they forgot it, and or maybe they were coming back the next day. I don't know. But there's one of the highlights of this road is the Needles Eye Tunnel, which is a tunnel. It's a very narrow tunnel. It's not as the clearance. Let me see if I can find the clearance here. It's not as it's 11 feet wide, so a lot of RVs could pass through. The problem is the width. It's only 8 feet 4 inches wide. So if you have like a dually truck or a wide vehicle, beware of your width. And and it's a one lane tunnel, of course, so there was a line of people, you know, waiting for the other guys to pass. But definitely, and there's a couple of overlooks there that are very, very beautiful. And then of course there's the Cathedral Spires Trail, which I want to do the next time we come to this area. And you know, I'm leaving certain things, a couple of things that, you know, we're gonna do next time we come, because you know we want to, right? The Cathedral Spires, that's that would be probably one of the most beautiful areas in this region. And we spent half a day there at Custer State Park, and it was a great experience, much better than we ever expected. And of course then we went to the town of Custer, and in the town of Custer they have the Rushmore Brewing Company and the Pounding Fathers restaurant, and they have several restaurants. We actually only had an IPA at the brewing company. It's funny because they have a picture of like Mount Rushmore, the four presidents, looking kind of tipsy, and I'm like, yeah, this is my kind of place. It was pretty cool. We decided not to eat there. We ended up eating, you know, I had burgers, so we cooked some burgers at where we were at Mount Rushmore KOA Resort. By the way, they give you a propane grill. I mean, I got one of them, you know, these deluxe sites. So we got it was my birthday weekend, so I decided to splurge a little bit. Okay, another area around here that is very cool is a little farther north. Is the town of Deadwood. The town of Deadwood, and we stayed at the Deadwood KOA there. Very tight sites, but it's beautiful. It's beautiful. You're right. It's like on a hill, and you're overlooking another mountain, and it's all like old mines. You know, it's very nice. A place to visit if you are into that sort of thing. It's in Belfouche. Is or Fourche, I guess is how you pronounce it, is the geographic center of the nation. And you know how they calculated the geographic center of the lower 48 is in Lebanon, Kansas? I don't know how they did this one. And the one in the lower 48, they took a cutout of a map of the United States and they balanced it in the middle, and wherever it balanced, that's where they determined the geographic center. In this case, it's the geographic center, but they take into account Alaska and Hawaii, which are not part of the same, you know, body. I don't know how they determine it, but hey, they have a marker, they have a visitor center, and they have the geodetic marker there to prove it. So hey, if you're in Belfouche, that's a cool place to visit too. Now, this KOA, the Deadwood Black Hills KOA, is kind of equidistant between Deadwood and Lead. Lead is a mining town. There's a huge mine there, and there's kind of a trail that goes around the mine. We didn't do it, but the picturesque town is Deadwood. Deadwood is like a western town. There's a bunch of restaurants, a bunch of casinos, actually lots of casinos, and museums, and it's just one of those towns. It kind of reminded me a little bit of Bisbee, Arizona. It kind of has that a similar vibe, you know, and it seems like a fun town. It seems like a fun town. We had we had lunch at one of the restaurants there. I mean, it was fine. I had a steak. Ely had steak tips, and it was good. It was good. Very touristy, super touristy area. I mean, people don't realize, because most people you hear South Dakota, and you know it's farmland, but you people don't realize how touristy and how beautiful this area of southwestern South Dakota is really. And well, the next day, I'm telling you, we're just getting started. It's been such an eventful week. We went to Spearfish Canyon. It feels like you are. I don't want to offend South Dakota. It feels like you are in one of the canyons in Utah or one of these places. It's beautiful. There's Bridal Veil Falls that you can see from the main highway, and then there's a couple more waterfalls. There's a Rough Lock and Spearfish, Little Spearfish Falls. Those two require a short hike. It wasn't incredibly difficult, but it was, you know, it was hot. And that's the thing. It's been very warm this time of the year in South Dakota. Like today, I mean, where we are, I'm going to tell you where we are in a few minutes here. We went out for a little bit and we're like, no, we have to come back to the campground. I mean, it's I think this may be like the last long trip like this that I do in summer. I'm telling you, it's... that being said, Spearfish Canyon, it's really off the radar, but it's something that you should definitely visit. What a great discovery. As I said, we did both trails. And of course, there's the lodge right there. A big lodge, Spearfish Lodge. And the restaurant, which was surprisingly pretty good. We had some trout. I mean, it was very good. It's called Latch String. Yeah, that definitely does not roll off the tongue. But the Spearfish Canyon Lodge and Latch String. The Spearfish Canyon Lodge, very beautiful, actually. The lobby has a great ambience with a big fireplace. And they even have their local IPAs. So, very nice. Parking is a little bit of a challenge because According to the trail map, there's supposed to be a parking lot right behind the restaurant, which right now, nowadays, is an employee parking. So you have to park next to the, not on at the lodge, but right next to the lodge. There's the Rough Luck Falls Trail, and that's you know, a gravel parking lot, and that's where we had to park. But other than that, it was a great day in the Black Hills. And then coming to yesterday and the day before yesterday, we visited once again the Badlands National Park. As you recall, I was in the Badlands back in 2019, but I just did a drive through and the weather didn't cooperate as much. It was cloudy, kind of like, you know, it's a. And these rock formations are best viewed either late in the afternoon or early in the morning. So what we did, we took a drive on the park in the late afternoon. And it looks like another planet. Certain parts look like if you've been to Death Valley National Park, you know, Zabriskie Point, where you see all these rock formations of different colors, and it's incredible. I have no words to describe it. You have to see it. You have to go if you ever have the chance to go to Badlands National Park. Yeah, it's a no-brainer. I really, really recommend you go. Of course, we stayed at this boondocking area just north of the north entrance. It's called The Wall. It's colloquially called The Wall. If you look on Google, it's called Badlands Boondocking Area. Just look for Badlands Boondocking Area, and you'll find it there. And the highlights of the drive and on Badlands, of course, Pinnacles Overlook is an overlook. You're overlooking, you know, some of the Badlands, but then the rest of the overlooks, they kind of go down into the canyon, and Yellow Mounds Overlook is amazing because you see these rock formations, but you know they're yellow and kind of that a little bit of that red sandstone color, and then the top is white. I mean, I don't know exactly how it happens. But it is a very surreal, very, very surreal place. Let's call it a place. This looks like another planet, really. And then the next day in the morning, I decided to go for a hike. And we did this Notch Trail. The Notch Trail is not very long. It's about a mile or so. But it has this peculiarity that it goes through. You have to go through a ladder, which begins kind of 45 degrees and it keeps going, you know, getting steeper and steeper. It's not a very strenuous trail, but you have to be aware that it's not a maintained trail. You're walking out there in the wilderness, in the Badlands. And you know, it's some rough rocks. I mean, in some areas you're climb. You know, you're hiking right next to a cliff, so you have to be aware of that. There are two other trails right there, right next to Notch Trail. There's the Windows Trailhead. This is a boardwalk. It's ADA compliant, and it goes. It ends up at a. Oh, by the way, the Notch Trailhead. There's a big reward at the end. Because you can't see it, but you all of a sudden you walk and you see this big, huge valley. It's beautiful. Then there's the Windows Trailhead. As I said, the Window Trailhead. It goes to this overlook. It's ADA compliant. It's a boardwalk, and it's a beautiful view. So you kind of see. I guess it's called the window because you see there are holes on the rocks that look like windows. And then the other one is the Door Trailhead. The first part is very easy. It's a boardwalk, and then there's a second part where you just they have markers on the road on the rock, and you just follow them. But it's not a marked trail of any kind. You're just walking out there in the Badlands, and you know there's it could be dangerous. There's cliffs. It's uneven terrain, and. But it's beautiful. It's a beautiful hike, and you're gonna see it on Instagram probably today, and you're gonna see it on a video a few weeks from now. But the Badlands. Oh, and we saw that buck moon a couple of nights ago. A couple of, you know, as the sunset set right after, you see it on the other side. Actually, right before the sunset, the moon came out, you know, over go into Instagram or into my Facebook page and look that picture up. I took a couple of pictures with the video camera before I had time to go inside and grab the good camera. By the time I grabbed the good camera, the lighting had changed. So I chose to publish the picture that I took with the video camera. And the resolution is not the best, but it's one of those that it's magical. It's truly magical. And we took it from our boondocking spot, which I'm now on the fence. I don't know if it's my favorite or my second favorite boondocking spot. The wall right there. Right north of the Badlands. And that's pretty much all we've done. I mean, today we are as part of the Great Detour, we're going to the Winnebago Grand National Rally, which is happening this week, on Saturday. Anyway, it's gonna be like 5 days of fun with other Winnebago RVers, and I think we're going to have a good time there. So we made a beeline, kind of hightailed it. Last night we stayed at Kennebec, and today we're staying in Sioux Falls. And I'm telling you, Sioux Falls, it's been very hot, but we did two things. We went to see the actual falls. There's a falls park where you see the waterfalls, and they have like an observation deck. It's pretty cool. It's a very beautiful for an urban waterfall, and they have the ruins of a mill there, and what used to be the power plant is now there's a restaurant. We ate at the restaurant. Actually, we ate something called a Dakota Cuban sandwich. Which was pretty good. It's a pretty decent take on the Cuban sandwich. It tasted great. It was a little on the heavy side, but oh, it was good. I'm not complaining. And then we explored the falls, and then downtown they have this area called the Sculpture Walk, which they have sculptures on this one of the main roads in downtown. But there was a lot of construction. It was hot. We were kind of tired, so we decided to maybe do it tonight or do it next time we come. Now we know it's there. There's another park that we went to, and let me look it up here, because the name escapes me right now. But that's what we have. Google. It's called Fawick Park, and they have a replica of the Michelangelo's David right there, you know, life size, and it's very cool to see the sculpture walk, and they have several restaurants and a brewery there. Now we know it's there, and I'm sure we'll be back to see it one of these days. But we got a taste of Sioux Falls. Now we're going to the Winnebago Grand National Rally in Forest City, Iowa, and then I'll tell you next week. Let's see if we have any voicemail right now, and with that we're gonna wrap it up.
Hello, Robert. This is Angel Puckett, Panhandle, Bloopity Fuku, but my name's Angel. Just want to say thank you so much for all you do and all of your sharing. It makes a girl feel good and wants to get out on the road. Just bought a pickup truck, GMC Sierra, mostly for the purchase of an RV trailer, but I have no clue what to do. Doing a lot of research, but I'm just not sure where to start. Any ideas? But first time RV trailer buyer, what should I look at first? Or what are the main things I need to, look for when purchasing a new trailer? Thank you again for everything you do. This is Bloopity Fuku, aka Angel Puckett. Have a great one. See you on the road.
Hi, Angel. Thank you so much for your message. And that's a hard question. I mean, if you're gonna travel solo, I would go as simple, as lightweight as I can. I would even consider like something like a casita, where it's camp, or something like that. If you want to go a little bigger, there are so many choices, so many options. I could recommend what I had before this one that I have right now, which is the Winnebago Micro Mini 1708. That's a solid trailer. Small is simple, you know. The simpler it is, the less things that will break, right? And if you're interested in boondocking, you know, look at tank capacities. You know, you wanna have at least 25 gallons of fresh and gray, and black would be also ideal. It depends. It depends where you want dual axles or single axles. Dual axles tends to be more stable when towing. And do you want a wet bath or a dry bath? Do you want to make the bed every day? You know, the possibilities are infinite. I mean, the larger you go, the more solar you can put. If you're interested in off grid, if you're not interested in off grid, then it doesn't matter. So there are many things to choose from. I would start with something, especially if you're traveling solo. Something simple, something under 20 feet, for sure, and see if you like it. See if you can function in that small space, and then you can always, pivot at some point and get something larger or even smaller. You know, look at, I don't know what the budget is. Look at the Airstream Bambi. Look at Winnebago Microminis. Look at the Winnebago Hike. Look at Lance has some great trailers. And as I said, Casita. There's a couple of new brands like Black Series, if you are into off-roading with the trailer. That would be one to look at because they have a special suspension. What else? There are so many possibilities, and what I suggest, go to the next RV show in your area and see what's around, you know, and also look at the build quality, you know, knock on wood or whatever looks like wood in the trailer, see if it is if it feels solid. Some trailers have cassette toilets. Maybe you want a cassette toilet. Personally, I prefer to have a black tank, but some people prefer the cassette toilet. Do you want to camp in winter? I would suggest something that is rated for four seasons. North Star, they do truck campers, but there are certain campers that are rated for four seasons. You know, they have the insulation and the dual pane windows and the heated tanks, and you see. I'm rambling because the possibilities are endless, but I think that the main point that I'm trying to go across here is keep it simple, at least at the beginning.
Robert, I wish you a happy birthday and have a safe travel in your journey.
Hey, thank you. Yes, you know, my birthday was the last Friday, and we had such a great time. We were staying there at that KOA. In the Black Hills.
Hey, Robert, it's Dylan here from Toronto area Pickering. And I have a few questions today. My first question is, if you do go back out west in August, are you planning to visit Albuquerque, New Mexico in October? Yes, and my second question is, are you planning to visit Norway again? I really like the Nordkapp video from 2018. And my final question is, when you go up to Alaska next year, will you visit Banff National Park? Yes, so I'm recording this at 3:23 a.m. on Saturday, July 9th, 2022. So I hope to see you guys at the live stream at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Mountain, 5 p.m. Central. So, I just want to say happy birthday, Robert. Unfortunately, I was not able to make the stream because of the Rogers outage. So, I hope you have a safe and wonderful day. Alright. Bye.
Hey, Dylan, thank you once again for your message. And yeah, you were missed last Friday at the live stream. And And of course, this Friday we're going to have a live stream again today at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central Time, where I'm going to be at Central Time now, from the Forest City Rally Grounds at the Winnebago Grand National Rally this year. Hopefully Starlink will provide good internet. And about your question about Norway, I don't know if we're gonna visit Norway this in the near future. It's not in the plans right now, but we definitely want to travel overseas soon. I mean, we overdue. We have the itch to get on a plane and see, you know, different place, different language, different cultures, different ways to RV. We might rent an RV somewhere. I don't know exactly when that's gonna happen. But and definitely next year is Alaska or bust. Alaska, we want to visit Alaska next year, so definitely visiting Banff National Park if we go, or Provincial Park, is it Banff? I'm not sure. it's been a long day. We've driven a little bit today as we are kind of hightailing it to the east, driving to the east, going home. And until next Friday, thank you so much for listening, and see you on the road, because we are living the RV dream and loving the RV lifestyle, because I'm free in my RV.